As I said this morning, I've got messages and on all the Gospels on this, but I keep coming back to John. And, of course, as we look at these, we'll bring parts from, you know, all the Gospels it brings out. But in John chapter 12, and if you have an old Scofield, John 12 is on page 1132, if you have an old Scofield. But let me read verses 12 and 13. John chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this time as we come together. We just thank as we think of this Sunday and next Sunday as we celebrate Palm Sunday, and then next week we celebrate your resurrection from the dead, how that we thank and rejoice and thank you for what you've done for us. We do pray for the many needs. There's a lot of folks going through trouble. We think of that especially today of Elizabeth and also Beverly and others. We just pray that you'll meet those needs. Draw close to them. Draw close to us. Help us to see the love that you have for us as we study about times right before the cross. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, the last days before the public, the last days of Jesus and the public invitation. In verses 12 to 22, his triumphal entry. In verses 22 to 36, his message of the cross. And then in verse 37 to 50, the last public message. Now, as we look at the section, we will see Jesus' public message and invitation to the people. In fact, really, as far as you think of public message, is probably really the closest, because he has much to do with in the book of John with the disciples at this time. But at this point, this is really the last cry out to the people in general here. This is, of course, fulfillment of Scripture. Zechariah 9:9, promised many, many years before, as you see him coming with a donkey, on a donkey. He will speak of his death, the opportunity they still have to receive him. His last public words are directed at those who reject him, you know, especially the Jewish leaders. Now, the Jewish leaders, they should have been the ones who knew that he was the Christ. They had the Scriptures. They had it all. But, you know, they had hardened their heart to such an extent that they couldn't even see after a while. You know, as we've been studying through Exodus and Numbers, remember Pharaoh, how he kept saying no, no, no to the Lord, and he hardened his heart. That's the same thing that these men did, that they hardened their heart against the things of God. We see clearly how rejection of the Lord will harden the heart. And, of course, these Jewish leaders have rejected him over and over, and they're just looking for the time when they could come to put him on the cross. Now, this Sunday, and this is really a Sunday before the crucifixion and resurrection, really the resurrection of our Lord, as we celebrate next week of Easter. Now, let's look at these verses. Palm Sunday. We see the fulfillment of the Old Testament scripture of Palm Sunday. This is one of the most public, really, declarations of Jesus Christ. As people gather, some are true believers. Others believe they're carried aside just for all the excitement that's going on. And, of course, I'm sure, as we studied in Sunday school about Lazarus, there had been some that, well, he came because they had heard what they had said about Lazarus and him being raised from the grave, and they were probably coming to see Lazarus as well as Christ. And also, we see the leadership, the Jews, the Jewish religious ones. As the people gathered, they gathered. And, you know, some go to Psalm 118 that brings out some of the fact of what they're saying in Psalm 118, 25 and 26 as they worship the Lord and crying out to him. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And, of course, as we think of those those people. Many of them probably were really looking for him for a different reason. There's a lot of those folks. And I think when Jesus came, most of the folks were looking for the king to come and put up the kingdom, to put down the Roman Empire, to lift them up. But what he's coming for is much more important than that. He's coming at this point to make the payment for our sins and to die for us and then rise again the third day. But sadly, many of them never saw the spiritual aspect of this. But notice verse 14. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, speaking of donkey, sat thereupon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass colt." These things understood not the disciples at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Now you'll see that as you go on in John, in John 16, that they realized what had taken place. Now notice what this is fulfilling is what we read in Zechariah 9 and verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh upon thee, unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt of the fold of an ass." Notice that important thing back in the Old Testament. He is just and having salvation. You know, the people, the Jews, they were looking for the kingdom. But all through the Old Testament, you see the thought that he not only is going to be the one, the king, the reigning in the millennial reign and all throughout eternity, but also he's the one that brought salvation. And of course, Zechariah speaks so clearly of that. He brings salvation. And in just a few days, he will go to the cross and pay the sin debt that a holy God could forgive any and all who come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. The mercy of God sent the Son to go to the cross and make the way of a holy God that he could forgive sin. Now, of course, today that debt is paid. That debt is paid. He now lives. And of course, because he lives, you can too if you put your faith and trust in him. But it's an individual thing. Each one has to come to him personally. It is interesting too that he comes riding a donkey. Now, if you study, and of course I brought this out, I know when we went through Revelation, that really a king, and he is the king. He's going to be the king, complete king of all and everything, not just of one nation. But he's a king. But they tell us of kings in those days, when a king would be going on a peaceful ministry, that they would often ride a donkey. But when they went on going to war, that they were riding a horse. Now we'll see here, he's riding a donkey. He's going to make a payment for the sin to make salvation possible. But of course we know, as we remember in Revelation, when we came to that place, when he came to this earth to set up his rule and put down the rule of man, he was riding a horse in Revelation 19. How the people could not see that they're fulfilling prophecy. And of course, as it mentioned there, the disciples really didn't understand it until after it had already taken place. How the people could miss the fulfillment of this prophecy. Surely you think of those Jewish leaders. They had the scripture. Surely they knew this. But, you know, I think some of them had hardened their heart to such an extent, they just didn't see the truth. The Jewish leaders who had the scripture should all have known. Now, notice in chapter 16, let me read verses 12 through 14. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the songs that we sung through that, it speaks about that very fact. After he left, he sent the Holy Spirit of God. And if you're a child of God, he's within your heart. He's with us. He's there to go through the trials and difficulty. And of course, as you think of this, the disciples forgot that. But you know, after the day of Pentecost, from that time forward, every time that someone trusted Christ as their Savior, they also received the Spirit of God who's there with them. And you know, that's the help that we have. You have the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is the one who holy men of old spoke as they were bore along by the Spirit of God. He was the one that really is the author, in a sense. And of course, he's there to help us. Now notice verse 17 and 18. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called out Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, that they heard that he had done this miracle. Now, two groups of people were there. Those who had seen him raise Lazarus, as well as they were also people who, these people who had seen, had shared it with others about the Lord. You know, that's really what witnessing is, isn't it? Just sharing with you what God has done for you. But, you know, these people were sharing what Jesus did, how he brought Lazarus back out of the grave. It may have been those who had seen were believers, sharing the message with others. Now, some of them, we notice in verse 20 and 22, that there were Gentiles there too. They were probably what they call proselytes to the Jewish religion. But I am sure, as we were all were not believers at that time. We know surely much of the leadership wasn't. And of course, I'm probably, some of those folks that were there will be the ones crying at Pilate with the Jewish leaders when they say, crucify him. Notice verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, proceed ye, know ye, prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. They knew they couldn't do anything, but they were all had such a hatred for the Lord. You know, it's such horrible when people come to that place. Now notice verse 20 and 21. And there were certain Greeks among them there, came up to worship at the feast. The same called therefore to Philip, which was of the Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Now, what a request. These Gentiles wanted to see the Lord. Now, I don't know if they were allowed to see the Lord at that time, but the message of the cross in verse 23 through 36, we see the message of the cross, that they will hear that declared by him too. You know I've related this before in church, but when I first started speaking at the rescue mission in Evansville, there was one of the pulpits that they had in different rooms. One room, you know, they had several places. They had a rain auditorium as well as others. And one of those pulpits had up on this, sir, we would see Jesus. Now, it's not focused where the people in the audience can see. It's focused to whoever's speaking or whoever's singing. And really, as you think of that, what they were trying to get across, sir or ma'am or whoever you are up behind this pulpit, we don't want to see you or we don't want to hear from you. We want to hear from the Lord. And, of course, that's the message that always should be, to see Jesus. That's the important thing, as you witness for him or whatever you do, that they always, you want to show him Christ. Now, Philip also brings Andrew, as you read on. And, you know, as you think back, we studied through this book several times before in years past, but in chapter 1, it speaks about Philip and Andrew. Andrew, of course, was Peter's brother. But it speaks there in that first chapter how you see that these men were bringing other people to Christ. You know, you see all through that. Now, Andrew, he was not the speaker as Peter, as you see, or it isn't portrayed in the scripture of that, but he was one who took the word. And, you know, you may not be one that you think that you can speak before people, but, you know, you can take it one-on-one and take it to people and share the gospel and the message with others. Now, notice, secondly, his message of the cross, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You know, he's speaking here of his death. Notice the hour is come. Now, as you study through John, oftentimes people refer to him, you know, looking for his time. And he often says, my time has not come. But friend, we're coming to the cross and we're coming to that time. And his time has arrived. His time to go to the cross. The timing of the Father is at hand. Jesus uses the illustration of seeds. Now, I know that some of you in here are amateur farmers, and some of you may be wholehearted farmers, but you know when you plant that seed in the ground, that seed will really die. But by dying, it will produce a plant, and it will produce a plant that has much more fruit on it than just that one corn, just that one kernel. You put the seed in the ground, and it comes forth with many. One grain of corn can produce a stalk of corn. And, of course, you think of all the corn cobs full of that. You know, I remember hearing one say that one says an apple. Anyone can know how many seeds are in an apple, but only God knows how many apples are in a seed. You can take one little seed out of an apple and plant it. It can produce a tree. And for year after year after year, produce apple after apple. You plant that seed. Jesus goes to the cross and he dies, pays the sin debt through his death, burial, and resurrection, and makes salvation possible. Now today, any and all that will receive him as their Savior, they will be saved. In 1 John 2:2, someone might say, well, surely it didn't die for me. But it says in 1 John 2:2, he's the propitiation, the mercy seat, for our sin, not for our sins alone, but for the sins of the world. When he died on that cross, he died for every person. He paid their sin debt. But each individual has to receive it personally, themselves. Notice verse 25 and 26. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there also my servant be. If any man serve me, him my Father will honor. Now, as you read those verses, there's a message to believers today. Will we die to self and live for him? You know, salvation's free. You trust Christ as your Savior with your heart and your mouth, receive him, realizing you're a sinner, realize there's nothing you can do, and you put your whole trust in him, he'll save you. But you know, once you're saved, you need to really put him and die to him in the sense of allowing him to work through us, to use us to bring others to the Savior. You know, that's one thing that just as Jesus paid the debt and these men, they're going to be left behind to continue the work. And you know, as it goes on down through time, it comes to us. And now it's our time. Those who come to salvation, verse 25, if we will serve him and follow his example, we too can be used of the Father to bring folks to Christ. And you know, there's so many things in this life that are temporal. You can help someone maybe going through health problems, and maybe a doctor can bring them through. But you know, that's just in this life. When you bring someone to Christ, that's eternal. That just speaks beyond this earth to all through eternity. Now notice verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and that what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Now, could be the humanity of Christ. You know, after you remember, and I mentioned that in Sunday school too, you got to remember, he's very God from eternity past. He created the things. He's very God. But he also, through the miracle of the virgin birth, took upon perfect humanity. Now, he didn't have the sin nature like we have, but he knows what it is to suffer as we suffer, to go through this life. He understands fully. Now, as he goes to the cross, as you see some of the things happening, he sees it from man's perspective, perfect man, but he also is God. And he's here to please the Father. I think that we see here is out the outcry of the Savior all the way through this book to fulfill the will of the Father. That was first and most important, that I may come to finish his will. You know, that ought to be our will, that we would want to finish his will. Because, you know, just as Jesus had a will the Father sent him for, he has a will for us in our life, each one of us. Now, you might think, well, I'm not that important. You are to him, and especially if you're his child. Now, this is what came for, to pay the sin debt is all what he came for that very reason. Now, notice verse 28 and 29. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered, and an angel spoke to him. You know, I've often thought maybe those that heard the thunder, maybe that was unsaved people. Maybe the saved people, they heard that, well, maybe there was an angel talking to him, but of course it was the Father talking to him. Notice verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now this, of course, speaks of the cross. And of course, last week, we studied that very thing. Remember when in the wilderness, when the children of Israel were really, they complained. God got tired of complaining, and they sent snakes that were poisonous. They bit the people, and people began to die. And then God sent, people realized they had sinned, and he had Moses put up a bronze snake on a pole. And, of course, in John 3, if you remember, we came to that John 3, Jesus said, as the snake was lifted up, so will the Son of Man. It's speaking of the cross. And, of course, we saw that last week, just last week, as we studied through our study in the book of Numbers. Notice also verse 34. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now, as you read that and you think of that, we have seen as these people, you see what they're saying. He'll be lifted up. They keep thinking. That's why they were looking for the king to set up the kingdom, not someone to come and die and make the sin debt for them, pay the sin debt for them. Notice verse 34. The people saw the reigning Messiah there in verse 34. The people answered, and of course they saw the reigning Messiah, but they didn't see the suffering Savior. But you know, the Old Testament scripture is filled with scripture. You know, as we spoke of those two instances in Numbers that happened, where it spoke, first of all, the first week of the rock where they got the water. And of course, we studied it. Paul made it clear in 1 Corinthians that rock was a picture of Christ. And also last week when it spoke of the snakes that were killing them. And of course, the snakes were a picture of Christ. And we saw that. And this is exactly what Jesus, he's the very Christ who went to the cross. Now notice verse 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Now, could he be speaking to them while I am here? And I think especially speaking to those leaders, speaking to the unsaved. You have an opportunity. You know, it's almost like as you study when they come to Jesus to get him and bring him out of the garden. Remember when Judas was leading the call, and right at the end when Judas was there, and of course Jesus was giving him an opportunity to turn to him, but we know that Judas never received the Lord. I've often wondered, how in the world could anyone spend 3 years with the Lord and not realize who he is? And of course we know that Judas was never a believer. I might say that us today, if there's any that who do not know him as Savior, that opportunity is still here as long as you're living. But once death takes, It's appointed unto a man once to die, and after that the judgment. There's no second chance once that you've left this earth. The last words in verse 36, notice, while yet there is light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. And I say the same thing if there be any that don't know him as Savior. Now notice verses 37 through 50, his last public message. Notice and bear with me as I read down through verse 37 to 40. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Elias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Elijah, who is speaking about Isaiah, said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, for he and be converted, and I should heal them. You know, I believe this has been misunderstood by many, but as you look back to that time, Isaiah, as he preached the message to the people had rejected the Lord and rejected his message. And of course, the Jewish people, and the Jewish rulers especially, I think here he's speaking to them. There comes a time that the Lord will let them go in unbelief. You know, this speaks, and you think of Pharaoh. Remember, as we first started the study there in our study on the travels in Exodus, how that Pharaoh, it speaks of him hardening his heart. It also speaks of the Lord hardening his heart. You know, there comes a time people can harden their heart to such an extent that they harden it to a sense that they don't even see the truth. And that's exactly what has happened to these men. You know, it's kind of like I've mentioned before, it's kind of like wax. You stake wax and you stick it out in the sun. At first it gets real pliable and soft. But if you leave it for a long time in that sunshine and the heat, it gets like leather. And there's many people that's happened to them. You know, it gets right down to the point, I would warn anybody today who continually rejects the Lord, there come the time you'll just go on about your way. But notice, understand with the heart. You know, I often quote Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now that's not just saying you say a few words that somebody tells you to say, but it's coming out of your heart. It's when you realize, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve just what the Bible says. I deserve hell. But the very fact you realize the fact, Lord, I want you to come into my heart, change my life. I'm looking to you. I'm just an old sinner. And it's when we do that, that it's our mouth and our heart. It's really saying in that verse, the mouth and heart saying the same thing. Look at verse 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief priests also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, as you read those verses, there were some that believed. They were so-called, I guess you'd say, secret believers. Some may be true, some not, but those who are truly saved, one day it's going to come out. You know, as you think of this, you think of Nicodemus and Arimathea. These were two men. They were men that we really believe that were probably in the ruling group. They may have been on the Sanhedrin. And, of course, they kind of kept quiet. Remember, Nicodemus came to him by night. But, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, there were two men that went to the cross and begged Pilate for this body. And they were the ones, these two men were the ones who declared their faith in him right there when they took the body and prepared the body for the burial. You're not saved by making it public, but when you trust Christ as your Savior, there comes a place it just comes out, let me tell you. Now notice verse 44 to 50. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe me, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, ever as the Father saith to me, I speak." Now you see in these verses, his last words, an invitation. He is the light of the world, and those that believe will not abide in darkness. Verse 46. You know, it's not so much you see all the facts. You know, it's one thing a lot of people are wanting to see. I've known several people. They want to know all the facts and everything. But you know, as you first hear the gospel, you don't understand all the things of the Word of God. But I will tell you this. If you step out and receive Christ as your Savior, realizing you're a sinner and put your whole trust in him, he'll save you. And as you grow and go forward, you're going to see more and more as God reveals more and more to his word as you study it. But you know, as you think of this, we think of these people as he declares a message. The Lord comes riding on a little donkey, fulfilling prophecy from hundreds of years before. From the thinking, man, there should be no problem, knowing that he's the Messiah, knowing the Old Testament. Many were there, for they saw him raise Lazarus. Some of them heard from them that saw Lazarus raised. Also, we would see Jesus. Remember the Gentiles. They were there. And, of course, we see also that, you know, when he died for all. You know, maybe you're here today and you've already received Christ as your Savior. Maybe he's wanting you to step forward and go forward. Maybe to join the local church, or maybe to come and to serve him. Or maybe he has something he's calling you to do. The message to the lost is religion won't do it. You need Christ. You may not understand every aspect of salvation, but if you realize yourself a sinner, realize if you trust him as your Savior, he'll save you. Let me close with the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one." Friend, have you realized that fact first? That you're a sinner. There's nothing I do. Lord, there's nothing in the world. I can't live this. I can't work my way to heaven. But to realize John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." When you realize yourself a sinner, and that believe means your trust, you're relying on him. It's not just saying words, but it's saying words, and the words are coming from your heart. You're meaning it in yourself. "Lord, change my life. Save me." He'll save you. And then once you are saved, he wants to use us. Let's bow our head just for a moment, just before we do take the Lord's Supper. I apologize that we'll be a few minutes over, but Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this time. I do pray for the many needs. I pray for the folks that are going through difficult times at this time. Be with us. Be with us as we take the Lord's Supper too. We just pray that you'll show us the truth and let us to rejoice in the salvation we have in you. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.